This is the parable of the sower. We may look at this again a little bit more next week. I'm not sure where God's taking us, but I found some interesting things I just want to share with you. This parable of the sower is in the book of Matthew. Also in the book of, I shouldn't say this parable of the sower, but a parable of the sower is in the book of Matthew and in the book of Mark. I believe the ones that are in the book of Luke and Mark are very similar. But there's a lot of different things that are different in the way that they're taught and written down. So we will kind of pick a little bit of information from them, but for the most part, we're going to stay right here. If you found Luke 8 and you're able, please stand. Exposure to the light is kind of where my title of my message begins. What it ends up being, I don't know. But verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth and are choked in the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, and they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. God, I pray for your spirit tonight to be helping in the preaching. Lord, I can't do this at all, and I don't want to do it alone. I need your spirit. I need the power of your word to be working in concert in this service tonight. I pray, God, for that filling of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak and to proclaim your word with power. And Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know that's an extended reading, and be of good cheer. I'm kind of going to look at three verses tonight. And Jesus, I think we could wrap everybody up in these verses, because all of us are responsible for how we receive the Word of God. Every one of us. And Jesus explains four different ways. And exposure to light. Psalm 119:105. Those that have been in the kids program, what is it? Thy word. Come on, I know you've been here. Thy word. Don't you ever forget that. The light that the world gives you won't lead you to the place that God will not judge you. Did you get that? A lot of people are skating and riding in this world thinking that in the end, God is a good God. God is a good God, but God is a just God. He has His word. He has His commandments. He has His way, and it's His way or the highway. He has Jesus' way to heaven, and He has commandments that we are to live by, and we're going to be judged by those, and don't ever forget that. We don't get to change that just because you think that God's a good God. A murderer in this life, the reason why our world is starting to become so torn up, a murderer in this life can get off for a technicality. In God's arena, in God's economy, you do not get off on a technicality. The only technicality you can get off on is if Jesus is your advocate, He is your lawyer, you've put your faith and trust in Him for forgiveness of sins completely, past, present, and future. That's the only way that you can stand before God in righteousness and wholeness. Only way. It's not complicated. It's real simple. And then past that, once you're saved, you're accountable for how you live. When the Word of God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, you're accountable to that Scripture. I didn't write it. I don't even enforce it. And when I read it, it works the same on me. I'm accountable to it too. So tonight when we look at this, we're going to look at the interpretation, the illumination, and the manifestation, and the perception or the reception, and most of that's going to come in verses 16, 17, and 18. I'm going to give the interpretation of the first from verses 4 to 15 in a very brief way, but I want to tell you that it's very simple to figure out. I mean, look at the other parables of the sower. He gives four ways that the Word of God is received, and it'll be received four ways here tonight, I guarantee it. The Word of God will be cast. You can think of it that way, but it'll be cast, it'll be sown on you. You will either be the wayside, the stony side, the thorny side, or the good ground. You'll be one of the four. It won't be up to how well the preacher does it. It won't be to how comfortable you are with what's being said. It won't respond. It won't depend upon that at all. It'll depend on how you receive. He that hath an ear, you heard that, let him hear. It's not going to be up to me. So I want to lay that groundwork for you tonight in John 1:1, and you keep your place right here in Luke chapter 8. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't want to throw any confusion here, but when you start talking about the Word of God, that is including Jesus Christ, because it tells us in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. That's Jesus Christ. Now back over to Luke chapter 8, and I got to move through this first part pretty quickly, so you hang in there with me. It says there that a sower went out to sow his seed. So if you look down to verse number 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. That's going to be your point of reference. That's going to be the thing that you can say, okay, there's some of these other things you may look at it and may not be able to pull the trigger on the interpretation, but Jesus goes on and tells us the seed is the Word of God. So, that sets the stage for our four ways. A sower went out to sow his seed. You know what our task is, what my task is if you're saved? Sow the seed. We're to obey the Word of God, but our job is to sow the seed. That's why you got to read it. You got to meditate upon it. You need to memorize it. You need to know it. If you're trying to live your Christian life apart from the Word of God, you're going to struggle. You're going to be weak. You're going to be malnourished. You're going to be not able to do what God wants you to do. Sorry. They make audios. We have so many ways of getting the Word of God these days. It is unbelievable. But the first thing we need to remember is the word is the seed in this account. And it says, by the wayside, it was trodden down, verse 5, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And then he describes it or defines it over in verse number 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now I want to ask you a question, because I told you I got to move through this. Y'all know I'm talking fast and I'm really working hard, Miss Barbara, to get through this first. If I don't, I won't get through the message. And I probably won't complete it, but I'll try to get through it. Y'all think that the devil's going to take away the word from you here tonight? I see some shaking of the head. You know, I bet that's what Eve thought when she was in the Garden of Eden. I bet that's what Ricky Stump thinks sometimes when he's sitting at home studying and the Bible convicts me about something and the devil says, it's not that important. Tim, what has just happened to me? What just happened to us? When this is blows me away. Somebody wants to get right with God and then you talk to them about salvation and you say, are you saved? Well, I've been baptized. Baptism won't save you. Well, I know that, but I've went to church. My grandfather was a pastor, right? But have you been saved? Well, no. And then you say, has there ever been a time when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and Him for salvation? They're like, I'm not sure. Who do you think that is that's helping them not make that decision, Brother Lee? It's the devil. He's saying, you don't need to do that. That guy don't know what he's talking about. And that's not talking about me. That's talking about the Word of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation is simple. It's clear. How can it be cloudy? It's after we get saved when we have to get further into the Word of God. But what happens here, it says that the devil taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. By some commentators, and this is like a majority of the commentators, they believe that this parable of the sower can almost prove that 3 out of 4 people that make a profession of faith in churches today are not saved. I don't know whether I'm going to agree with that because I don't know. I've told you I don't know anybody's heart, but I am a fruit inspector. I do see what people do. When people say they're saved and they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they don't go to church, and they don't witness, the proof is kind of in the pudding right there. Quiet, don't it? But there's good. This is a good thing here because it's a revealer to us. Now we're going to get to that once we get to our illumination and stuff. Second thing, think about Eve when she was in the garden. The devil said, "Well, God let you eat them trees." She said, "We can eat that tree. We can eat all the trees, but that one. But we can't touch it, and we can't eat it because God said we die." And the devil said, "Thou shalt what?" See, we know that part. And if anybody should have been able to trust God, would have been somebody that's in a perfect environment, taking perfect care of Brother Lee. Why do we think we're not capable of being deceived by that same devil? Because it tells us in verse 1 that the serpent is more subtle than all the beasts of the world. At 13, 14, and 15, when I was living my life, who was telling me to go do all those things? The devil, Miss Alice. Thank God about 19, 20, 21, 22, the Lord started speaking, but it took a long time before I ever heard Him. But He was working. And even when I started going to church, still the devil was like, you don't need to surrender your life. You don't need to rededicate your life. What are you talking? You don't need to read that Bible. Second thing is the way. That was the wayside. Then what about they're on the rock? Look at verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy and have no root for a while, believe, and then time of temptation fall away. Some of the other parable of the sowers tell us that they lacked root. They lacked depth of root. This is somebody that comes to church one time and, boy, man, really enjoyed being here. We're going to start coming. We're going to be at church every Sunday. And we don't see them again for a while. Now, when it says temptation, that does mean temptation. It means trouble in their life. But really, it means that they never really had any root that would keep them somewhere. There was nothing that ever really stuck them. In other words, they probably weren't saved. The first two, I can pretty much tell you, they're not saved. And I want to remind you, that's the case for us here tonight. And if you're saved, I'm not saying you can lose your salvation, but I'm telling you, whatever teaching that is given, there are four ways you're going to receive it. It's going to fall by the wayside. It's going to be taken away by the devil. It's not going to have the importance, and it's going to land on the rock. Now, I've seen moss grow on a moss, on a rock, but I've not seen grass grow on a rock unless there was some dirt or a crack or something where there could be some moisture or some dirt or some nutrients for that. I've seen grass grow in the back of a pickup truck when there was enough moisture and dirt around the cracks. I had grass one time grow up about that tall around the back of mine. I was pretty proud of it. We went through a drought, and I started sowing a lot of grass seed, and I had grass going around the back of my truck. I was pretty proud of it. But you know what? Once it got hot and dry, you know what happened to that grass? Died. The third way, that which fell among the thorns, verse 14. When they had heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Those are the people that, Brother Rick, you know I'm going to start changing some things, and we're going to show up at church Sunday. And then I see them by chance. We would have come Sunday, but, and I know that happens occasionally, but I'm saying that when it happens every Sunday or every time you turn around, the cares of this world are getting a hold of you. Now, I will say this, and I'm trying to think really how to say it. I don't mind to step on people's toes, but I don't want to say something in the wrong spirit tonight. If God is not the most important thing to you, you probably won't come to church and read your Bible and pray and witness like you should. And probably the cares of this world are going to choke out any fruit, anything that you're going to do for God. It will in my life, it will in your life. I don't care who you are. God doesn't like someone that's proud. He wants someone that's humble, that wants to serve Him, that doesn't want to stick their neck up and say, hey, like, remember Peter. Peter said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. I'll even go to prison. I'll die for you. And Jesus said, Peter, I pray for you because the devil's going to sift you. He did sift him, Brother Lee, with three little weak women. Them women come up and said, you're with that guy. Oh, no, I'm not. That's not me. Second one asked him, I don't even know what you're talking about. And the third one in the account, I think it's in Mark, start cursing. Here's the number one disciple that Jesus got, the one number one apostle. And what had to happen to Peter? He had to be humbled and realize that in his own strength, in his own worldly care, he can't serve God. He's got to fully 100% rely and depend upon God. So these three ways, and then we come to the good way. And what's the difference? Let's read it. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We can say patience is like long-suffering or sticking it out. In other words, you keep coming, you keep praying, you keep reading your Bible, you keep working until God is able to use you in a way that will produce fruit. You can't put a tomato plant out, Lola, today and expect fruit from it tomorrow. Not going to happen. You've got to keep the weeds out of it. It has to have some water, and it can't be tossed to the side. That's interpretation. Now let's look at illumination. I'm not going to take you anywhere else right now, but you can read in Matthew 5:14-16 or in Mark 4:21-23. Actually, let's go to Mark 4. I just told a little fib, but I didn't really lie. I'm just trying to, I want to make sure I present this to you. In verse 21, this is what struck my attention as I was studying this week and why the message is what it is. It says in verse 21, Mark 4, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Now you can read on down a few more verses there to make, but if you go back over to Luke chapter 8, look at verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel. In other words, it begins to make reference to the same statement that Jesus made. Mark puts it down the way he heard it, and Luke puts it down the way that he records it. Remember, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. It's good. It's profitable for all reproof, correction, righteousness, and instruction. I think I've got them out of order, but something like that, okay? So here's the thing. I read this and I kept studying this, and you all have heard the four ways that it's received, but here's the thing. When I read this, I read a commentary that struck a note with me. When the Word of God is teaching us, or Jesus in the Gospels is teaching us, how do we receive it? And that's, I think, what Jesus is talking about here. He gives us the parable of the sower. And if you notice, and like I say, the nuances are too many and too great for us to get into tonight. Just like in our account here in Luke 8, the disciples ask him after he presented it there in the first few verses, really, Lord, can you describe this? Can you explain this for me? And he did. And then he comes down here in verse 16, he says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now again, in John 3, we see that darkness doesn't like the light. And if you've ever been in a basement or some type of crawl space that's really dark and you just all of a sudden flip a light on, you're going to see the bugs and the rats and the mice and everything go what? Scurrying for a hiding place. Right? Now we see our kids sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Right? Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out, Miss Alice. I'm going to let it shine. The problem is that is a childlike faith singing that song, wanting to do that. When we become adults, we start having problem with the wayside. We start having problem with the rocky hearing. We have problem getting caught up with the cares of this world. And not always does the Scripture come to us and us receive it in a good and honest heart. You see where this is going. See, the illumination of, or the work that the Bible does, and I could read you, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. in John chapter 1, it tells us that John the Baptist was announcing the light, which would light every man that cometh into the world. You're accountable for what light you're given. When I was, I don't think we had any kids at this point yet. We were married, and the first time I met an investigator for the state troopers, and I wasn't being investigated. My next door neighbor, it was his uncle or whatever. Brother Lee, when you walked into Dwayne's house, he had a drum set set up in his living room, which took up most of his living room. Okay? And then he had a little bit of couch and some stuff over there. And then you walked into his kitchen, had a dining room table and a door out this way. His friend, Junior, that's the only name I'll give, he was, again, an investigator for the state trooper, come in and he rung the doorbell and we were out back and my friend Dwayne hollers for him. He walks through the house. He doesn't stop to take inventory. He just walks through the house, Terry. Gets to the back porch and whatever me and Dwayne had been talking about, we were talking about how smart people were or how they were able to pick up on things. He looks at me, Dwayne. He says, you want to see something pretty cool? Of course, yeah. He said, Junior, tell him everything you've seen in my house as you walk through it. I thought, you know, he would notice, you know, Ronnie, maybe a Coke or a Pepsi. He spent about 15 minutes describing in beyond belief detail of this man's living room and his kitchen. Like there was a cup that had a white stain down the side and had probably a caramel soda that had this much in it. I mean, he had like an inch. I mean, Miss Tammy, he went the whole room. I mean, you would thought he sat there and wrote a book. And then he was able to come out on the back porch without looking back in and able to play that out to me. You know that the Word of God is going to be given to us and Jesus is going to be able to remember every detail of how it reflected upon our hearing. He's not going to forget. And again, he's a good God. He's a just God. But you are going to be sitting in a church service and the Word of God, the preacher's going to be preaching and God's going to prick your heart about something and you're going to want to make a move on it. The preacher won't even know it, most likely. Sometimes I can see conviction. Sometimes I can't. But you're going to be accountable for that, and one day that illumination is going to become what we call become manifestation. Look at verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. In other words, when that man walked through that house, he come out on that back porch and made known everything that was in that guy's house. And we say, wow, that's pretty amazing. Think about God. You think he's smarter than that guy, Junior? Now, Junior didn't know what was in Dwayne's thinking. He might could have come up with some pretty reasonable guesses, I'm just saying. But God knows everything that's going on in our little small brains. He knows everything that we're feeling in our heart. He knows that when the other day, and this doesn't affect y'all, but it's good for me, I've always loved the song, Angels Sit Down. Well, in switching phones and stuff, I lost 1,100 songs. And my wife finally, for my benefit, sat down and figured out how to get it back on my phone, Brother Bill. And I had almost forgot about this song. I mean, I knew I did have it, and I knew that if she put it back. But then that song, Angels Sit Down, and I heard that lady sing that song. What a sad time in heaven when they saw Jesus about to die. All the angels are about to stand up and go save him. And God says, angels, sit down. I know that you can save him, but that's not what's best. What's best is what he's doing. He's saving the world. So angels, sit down. Tim, I was taking a shower, just had me a little old, just, whoo. I don't think there's anybody at the house. I was just like, praise Jesus. Let's play, listen to that again. I mean, I listened to it 2 or 3 times. See, God knows that moment. Now, that's not in any way going to lift me up any higher in heaven, okay? So don't y'all think it. But God knows, Brother Lee, when I had that little moment. She didn't know it. And she couldn't come home and look at me and go, oh, you got happy over a song. Didn't happen. But I'm here to tell you, the light that the Word of God and the Son of God puts upon you is one of these days going to be made known. Now, I'm not smart enough to go through the Bible and show you how it's going to happen for sure, but I know we're going to stand and we're going to give an account. All these young kids that got saved, one of these days they're going to be just like me. They're going to be held account for what they made a vow for. People that surrender to preach, people that rededicate their life, that light can be made known. It's not going to be the preacher that does it. Now, we may spit and spew sometime. You know, this morning I preached what I call a positive and encouraging message. I think this is just as positive and just as encouraging. Because I've even preached that conviction is a good thing. Because I think if you have conviction on your heart, you realize it, and you see what God is saying to you, and you respond, you can have one of them praise Jesus moments when it is. You take that conviction and you say, God, I've dealt with it as long as I want to. Here, you take it. You work with me. And when you do that and you set it down, Miss Alice, woo, you can be happy about it. But most of us, we got that conviction over and we're holding it and we don't want no church members to see it. I'm going to sit in church. I'm not even going to act like it's going to bother me. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to sit down somewhere and I'm going to go, phew, made it through another week. Thank you, Jesus. And then you're going to start thinking about it and that preacher's going to hop up the next week and go, gosh, there it is again. Keep that down. See, I've been preaching that long, but it amazes me. And this happened in my life too, so it shouldn't be that amazing. But I sure didn't do it for this reason. I've had 2 or 3 people at this church tell me, Brother Rick, boy, I really felt convicted. I was going to move, but you know what? I was afraid to come to that altar and get it right because I was afraid of what people were going to think. But Tim, that's not the part that scares me the most. Even when they told me that at the back door, the devil had already said, you know what, that moment's passed, let's go. I bet that's happened to some people here. It could be happening here tonight. And y'all want to know how I know? I sat in a pew. See, I told you the story, Tim, that I was ready that night to surrender to preach. Steve Meese up here preaching. He's preaching. He's bringing that application. He says, it's time for us to have a song invitation. Brother Rick, would you lead us in the song? Oh, well, sure. I get a hymn book and I walk up there and I come up here and I pick a song and I read it. And I'm up there and going, boy, if I was sitting in that pew, I'd be on the altar right now. And I sing them through that song. Service is over. I walk out that door, never made a move. I'd like to say, Brother Bill, that in the next week or two I did something. But I didn't. It was a while. And the whole time I'm carrying that conviction. That illuminating of what God has asked me and spoke to me, and I'm like, it's got to come out there. And I'm sure it happens to people here, but why do we carry it and hide it? Why don't we say, God, I don't understand it. Here it is. Please work with me tonight. Work with me today. I surrender. I give up. I don't know why we don't. Well, I do kind of. There's the wayside. There's the devil taking it away from us. And it's up there where we give it no root, no water. I got some tomato plants Brother Bill gave me last week. I haven't planted them yet, Brother Lee. Luckily, it was cool and it was raining. But you know, them tomato plants keep falling over. If they keep falling over, they won't get moisture in the container. And I looked at them yesterday as I was walking in and out because I'm going to do something here and coming back. And I said, if I don't get by them by Monday or Tuesday, they ain't going to be worth putting out. Because I keep standing them back up. They get a little better. They fall over and they wilt a little bit. Not because they're wet, because they're getting abused. See, that's the thorny ground. That's when they're choked up. They're not in the right environment. So that's the manifestation part of it. Look at verse 18. You got the illumination, the manifestation, and like I said, I got verses. That's why I think we'll probably come back to this next week. Look at verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. It doesn't say, take heed how the preacher preached. No, it says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Look at the rest of it. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Now, let's go to Luke 19. We were here last week. Remember, we talked about these guys that were standing before a certain nobleman, and we said that that probably was a pretty good picture of Jesus Christ when he comes back to judge us. And it says there in verse 22, well, let's back up. Verse 21, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest down not. Let me back up. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Now what is he talking about? He's talking about in verse 20, another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. The other ones had been profitable. The other ones had made good on what God, the abilities that God had given them. And this one guy, he takes what God has given him and he wraps it in a napkin, waits those many years, and then when Jesus comes back, he says, I got it for you right there. What does Jesus say? Verse 22. He saith unto him, out of thine own mouth I will judge thee. You remember that, right? Last week? Remember, out of thine own mouth, out of what you give as an excuse or a reason why you say you can't do whatever it is that God has convicted you of, out of your own mouth, not the preacher, not the Bible, but out of your own mouth, Jesus says, I will judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now you tell me what that man had done that was really that bad. You tell me what he'd done. He had probably showed up to his Baptist church every week. He probably had given money as a tithe. He might have been faithful. And I know I'm being sarcastic when I say that. But folks, I'm telling you, we can worship God here, but we serve Him out there. And we need the Word of God. We must be stirred, moved, convicted. We must hear the Word of God, and we must move into uncomfortable territories in our life to be the good and honest heart that receives the Word of God. There's a perception that we get from the Word of God that God gives us. Look back over to Luke chapter 8. I know y'all seen me close my Bible. Y'all thought it was all over with. Psych. Okay, here we go. Look at verse 18 again. Look at the end of the verse. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. That ring a bell? Even that which he seemeth to have? In other words, it can look like you got something. There's only one real treasure in this world. Those are heavenly treasures. That begins with Jesus Christ as the foundation and what we build upon that. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, as serious as I have tried to be tonight, I can't break through anyone's heart. But I know that your spirit can. And I know the truth of your word can. But there still has to be people here tonight that by their own free will say, I heard you. I heard you, God. I heard you and I want to respond with a good and honest heart. It's really just that simple. We can't understand all of the things about the word of God. But we walk by faith, not by sight. God speaks, we move. If God speaks and we don't move, we're disobeying. So God, have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.